of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We want the young people to come with us.
All right. Well, how old are young people?
Everyone that is under 18.
Under 18, go with Mas, Matushka. You won't be gone that long, don't worry. Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
So, today is a very special day in the Orthodox Church. It is the resurrection, of course, but it is also the day that we celebrate the life of St. John of the Ladder. It's Sunday, it's dedicated to him. And for those of you who are not familiar with who St. John of the Ladder is, he's also called St. John Climacus, which is of the ladder. And he wrote a book called The Ladder of Divine Ascent, and the icon that was painted later on is right there before you. And on that icon it shows monks climbing the ladder, and some being pulled down, and some being shot by arrows, and the very those 30 steps, and the very top step is, of course, faith. Faith. But the other steps lead to that final question of faith. Do you believe? Help thou my unbelief. Do you believe? Help thou my unbelief. Do you believe? Help thou my unbelief. That should be your prayer. Because if you truly believe on what God has given to us, if we truly believe that he intends for each and every one of us to rise and to go to paradise and to be with him forever, then we will trust him in everything that happens. There's nothing, there's no place where you won't trust him. So here we are, we find ourselves at the midpoint of the great fast. You've put in your first half. And there's only a couple things that are required of each and every one of us during the fast. And that is that we fast, actually. That we fast on no egg, no milk, no meat, no dairy, nothing. You fast. This is fasting time. And so the fathers, you know, they if you read in the Philokalia, if you read in The Ladder of Divine Ascent, if you read Unseen Warfare, that the number one problem is our stomachs, for the most part, is controlling our stomachs. If we can't control our stomachs, how then can we control our thoughts? How can we not just be after every logos me that comes our way? Every one of those thoughts is like darts that are aimed at our spiritual heart to take us out of the game. They want to take you out of the game. Who is they? The devil. If you look at the bottom of that icon, you'll see it's blue. It actually is colored blue, I believe. And it's a maw, M-A-W, maw. And it's a wild beast that's devouring. And the devil is down there to devour all the souls that don't make it up that ladder. Because that is the ladder of divine ascent. That is the ladder to paradise. And so we hear, like today we had in the other gospel reading, you know, the Beatitudes. So those are all well and good, they're fine. But like this man who is the father of this person who is completely possessed, can't hear, can't see, can't talk, you know, just in miserable condition. I mean, the worst. I mean, he is in terrible, terrible shape. And the apostles who were still not yet fully come into their belief and their faith, the holy apostles, they are also, they couldn't figure out what to do either. And so here is this young man writhing in total pain, being tortured by demons. And Jesus doesn't just go up and like pull the demon out. He asks the Father, you know, how long has your son suffered this malady? And he says, from birth, from a young child. And so then he goes over to the child and he rebukes the spirit, leaves him like he was dead. But he asked, before that, he asked the father, "Do you believe?" And the father says the most poignant thing, I think, that, I mean, it's one of the most poignant verses that there is. He says, "I believe, help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief." All of us, if you were faithful, you would never break the fast. If you were faithful, if you believed in God, and you believe that God will take care of your body, and you believe that God will comfort you in every way possible because he loves you, you would never break the fast. Neither would I. We would hold to it because that is what is required of Orthodox Christians during Great Lent. We're not talking about St. John of the Ladder kind of fasting, you know, the monastic level fasting. For instance, monastics, in the first week of Great Lent, only eat two small meals the whole entire week and have very little water that goes with it. In fact, they don't come out of the monastics in big monasteries especially, and some will even go longer. Some will even go 3 weeks without eating anything. And they'll go to all the services and they'll do all the work that they have to do, and they will not grumble, they will not act like it's some big deal, they'll just simply not eat. Now that is not required of all any of you, because none of you are monastic. But you are required to fast. That is the Orthodox tradition that we follow. We give a tenth of the year to God, and we fast and repent. We fast and repent. This Wednesday we'll be doing the canon of St. Andrew of Crete and the life of St. Mary of Egypt. And in the life of St. Mary of Egypt, which is her feast day is today, in the life of St. Mary of Egypt, we see a woman who is, not a very faithful woman. She's, not only that, but she's prone for acts of lust, fornication, or anything else that happened in her time period. And yet, when she didn't realize how far down she was, how far she had fallen as a human being. She didn't realize that until following a troop of people going to kiss venerate the life-giving cross of the Lord. She tried to walk in with the rest of the people, and this barrier kept knocking her backward. She'd go forward, she'd fall back. And so until she finally was exhausted from being not allowed in, and then where she fell, there was an icon of the Mother of God. By the way, to this day, there's still an icon in that very place where she fell in Jerusalem. And she looked up at it and she pleaded with the Mother of God, and she said, "Well, if you will let me but go in and kiss the venerate, the life-giving cross of the Lord, I will do whatever you want." She went from no faith, no trust, to total faith. So then she received the blessing, went in, venerated the cross, came out, looked back at the icon, and she knew that that she had to go. So she literally crossed the river, the Jordan River, and she went into the desert and was not heard from again for many years until Elder Zosimov found her. We'll go into more details on Wednesday when we read her entire life. But she went from being someone who was never going to make it into paradise to someone who became like an angel. She became like an angel. She's the most amazing saint in so many ways, because she understood, debauchery. She understood fornication. She understood adultery. She understood all of it. She was mired in it. And one moment, in one moment. She was freed from that bondage, and life surged back into her. But she said for 17 years, she had to literally bite the ground to keep from running back to her former life for 17 years. And all she ever had to eat was wild berries and the bread, the two pieces of prosper that she had in her hand that she went across the river with. And that's all she had to eat. So when Elder Zosima sees her and he looks up at her, he sees that she is not standing on the ground. Again, an amazing woman, amazing saint. So many people, when they become Orthodox, they want to be, they really kind of connect with St. Mary of Egypt, because not because anybody was that lived that bad a life, but because they realize that their soul had sunk low, and now it had a chance to rise up. It had a chance to rise up. That's what happens when you get baptized, chrismated, when you serve the church. You rise up. Your heart rises. And that's the beauty of it, of Christ. He is always there, like he was for this man. He said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And straightway Jesus took care of the boy and said, don't say anything about it. And then prophesied of his own departure from this world. And he said, they will kill me and I will rise on the third day. It's the first time we hear it in anticipation of Pascha, anticipation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he promises us this very resurrection. He promises to each and every one standing in this room or sitting or wherever, however you are, he promises resurrection. Resurrection means to be with him forever, never be anywhere but with him. And all we have to do is be obedient to God and trust in him. The last step on the ladder of divine ascent, the 30th step, is in fact faith. But prior to that, of course, you know, we have to deal with our bellies and our lack of will and our lack of desire and our lack of zeal and our lack of attendance and our lack of giving and helping and doing for others. The lack that we have in our life. All we have to do is trust God. Trust him with everything. Believe in him above all things. Never, ever turn your back to him in any way that you could possibly turn your back, which means that in every given moment that you have in this world, that you have a choice between making a decision towards sin or fallenness or a decision toward God in holiness. When you don't fast, you weigh your soul down. You keep it from rising up. Your soul wants to rise up to paradise. But when you don't fast, when you don't keep the no milk, no meat, no eggs, no dairy, when you don't keep that, when you find yourself consuming things that are not on the list, you might say, or drinking things not on the list, then you are weighing your soul down. It's literally, it's like an anchor, becomes like an anchor, and it sinks lower because you're not able to do the one thing needful for your soul. So when you are at home and you're hungry and you're thirsty and you want to have something, you have to push back from that. We call it unseen warfare. But it's only unseen warfare if you resist the temptation to dive deeper. When Mother Silwana was here, she talked about, and she said, and this is something that St. John of the Ladder said as well. He said the thing that was the hardest thing for him to comprehend was when monks, people vowed to the very core with their bodies and their minds and their hearts and their souls, who have vowed to leave the world and to live a righteous life as monastics in this out of this world, that they would rather fill their bellies, they would rather engage in sin than engage in virtue. They would rather that than this. And so you have to ask yourself, well, not necessarily why is because we're fallen, but because we do we have an opportunity every day, every hour, every minute, every second to choose to follow the virtuous path that God lays out for us. This is that Sunday, if you have struggled with fasting, if you have struggled with faith, if you have struggled with your belief, now's the time to turn all that over to God. Just give it to Him. Don't hold anything back, and promise that tomorrow or today and every day you will abide within the rules and regulations that the church offers you during this time of blessing and grace, and as you repent and as you fast. That's the general idea. So may God give you and me and all of us the strength to truly fast in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, and to make good decisions on our own toward the salvation of our souls. May God give us strength. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.